So to recap where we were, the Gemara introduces a prohibition, and we saw that it's also in Haggadic places, of joining the parties of non-Jews. And the major machloket that we focused on is the machloket as we presented Taz and Shach, where the majority of this perek, the first perek here, is a series of rabbinic isurim, like the prohibition to do business with them on certain times of year, predicated on the possible issue of them going to thank their gods, and you can't be the cause of that. And again, it's not a vaday, it's a suffek, and therefore the prohibition is derabbanan. And in those cases, when it's going to cause animosity, so you are able to waive the prohibition to prevent the animosity, because it's rabbinic. The drisha raises the question if that is true here. The Taz makes the argument it is not, and within this he makes the following argument. He says, this is biblical. The pasuk, the broader pasuk, is lo tichrot lahem brit. So it shows that the problem here is not the avodah zarah, but is rather the forging of a relationship with non-Jews, which he says is basically the equivalent of saying creating eva, which is a jump. You could have said it's not to create ahava, to assume that those are the exact same thing, which is not creating a brit is the same as creating eva, not that there's like a neutral zone. The Taz just assumes, but therefore he says it can't be. Because this is A, biblical, and B, the goal is to create distance, therefore you can't waive this prohibition, even if it will, in fact, cause animosity. That is the position of the Taz. The Shach pushes back based on Rashi, and the Shach says, no, this is exactly like the rest of the Sechta, or the rest of the Perek. This pasuk is only an Asmachta. Fundamentally, this is a rabbinic prohibition, and therefore it can be waived if it's going to cause animosity. That's what we left off with. Here I want to now make the following methodological point. And that is the following. As we saw, Rashi may, though admittedly this is not definite, that Rashi doesn't weigh in explicitly in the Shach, but you could definitely read Rashi and maybe the Meiri as well as saying that the prohibition is only Dirabanan based on Azulamodi. What do you do when it's clear that neither the Shach nor the Taz were aware of the majority of Rishonic texts, and now we are? Right? What do you do methodologically? So there is a position attributed to the Chazon Ish that new manuscripts that weren't available to the Chachmei HaMisora are not relevant in Lahalacha, because some sort of idea that Hashkacha determined which texts made it into the active Psak. Now, this is problematic for many reasons. First of all, it goes against the Ramah. The Ramah explicitly says you're able to argue on your Rebbe if you have access to texts he did not. But here, I don't even think you need that to raise the problem. That is very simply that here, the Rishonim who think it's D'oraita and explicitly say Eva is not a factor, namely the Ritva and the Ravid, were not lost to history. They were simply unavailable to the Ashkenazi. No, say Caleb on Shulchan Aruch. But the Svardi Rishonim, who are, let's say, contemporaneous with them, have continued access to the Ritva and Ravid. So, for example, the Erech HaShulchan rules like the Ritva, the Erech HaShulchan. Not the Erech HaShulchan, the Erech HaShulchan. The Erech HaShulchan. What? Not the Erech HaShulchan. The Erech HaShulchan is Rav Yitzchak Rav Binyamin Taib. I'm not really sure I pronounced that right. Taib, I'm not sure. Taib? Tet Yud Yud Bet. Taib. 1786 to 1828, he is Tunisian. So he, for example, quotes the Ritva, and because he has the Ritva, he rules that it's D'oraita and Eva isn't waived. So does the Chida in the Tshuvat Chaim B'Yad. The Yavin Da'at also rules this way. And Rav Avram Alkalai, who's a major posek amongst the Sfardim, he has a Hava Amina to Paschal like the Shach. He even says maybe it's only Asur if someone is an Oved Avodah Zarah, and therefore there would be no problems if you're dealing with Muslims, Bichlal. And then he says, and he writes a very long tshuva about this, which I did not give you, thank me. But he says, in the end of the day, he backs down because he has access to the Rav and the Ritva, and he says, I'm wrong because the Rishonim went against me. Right, so Misvara, he agrees with the Shach and goes even farther, but he backs down, which shows you that amongst the Svarni poskim, it is a live tradition and even determines their psak, even against Svara, right? If they bow to the interpretation, the Raavad, the Ritva, and the like. So here I once talked to Shechter, and I said, look, I know that the Levush and the Shach and many of the Ashkenazi poskim take it as a given that we pass on the Shach. But this is a weird case. Because here, the Taz's intuitive read of the Sugya lines up with many Rishonim, and in the Sephardi tradition, those Rishonim were determinative. So in that case, I would think you would have to give a lot more weight to the Taz. Because the Taz intuited a whole tradition of Psak, and that's what I gave you right here, right at the top of 16, right, as I told you, Shach, Levush, etc. But I talked to Rav Shechter, and when I talked to Rav Shechter, and I raised this, that was what he suggested. Now, it happened to be that I gave this share once in Toronto, and Rav Shechter's son was there. And he told me, yeah, but you know that Rosh Hashanah something changes his mind. He actually was much more chuspidic than that, and in how he described how often his father changes his mind about certain things. But that was, you know, he's a very playful personality. So, I mean, I can't promise you Rosh Hashanah still passing that way, but when I talked to him, he thought that this was a very good reason to paskin like the Taz. So what you end up with is a tradition based on the Shach, possibly Rashi and Meiri, that would lead to saying that we can be lenient if it's going to cause animosity, which would open up a lot of kulot with business parties and business partners and things like that. Possibly even, let's say, the Havamina of Avram Al-Kalai, that if someone's not an Obed of Azara, so in Israel, this would create a tremendous amount of kulot because you're dealing with Muslims, and if you think that Christians aren't Obed of Azara like the Ramah, unlike the Nodeb Yehuda, so then obviously this would create a tremendous amount of leniency, but that's a story for another time. But the Ramah in general assumes Christians are not Obed of Azara. He assumes it based on how he reads Tosafot. No, Tosafot has a line that Bnei Noach are not Muzar al Hashituf. The question is, what does he mean? So the Ramah understood him to mean that that to believe that God has multiple parts, while for Jews is Avodah Zarah, for non-Jews is not Avodah Zarah, then that's what he thinks Shituf means. The Nodeb Yehuda says that's not what Tosafot means. Tosafot is talking about a very local context about Nedarim, which is that non-Jews are not forbidden to take a Neder in the name of God and something else, where Jews are. I mean, not that it's different Avodah Zarah, but that, right, so they can make a vow in the name of God and saint, whatever. Right? So according to the Ramah, according to Tosafot, even Catholicism, even Trinitarianism is not Avodah Zarah. For non-Jews, it is for Jews. But therefore, they are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. According to the Yehuda, this is not true. According to the Rambam, this is not true. Right? The Rambam thinks Trinitarianism is Avodah Zarah. Right? And the Yehuda thinks Tosafot never said it. Or they were. What he thinks would be, but not Trinitarian. Correct. It would be exactly. So this is a reason to be machmir. On the other hand, right, so you have, now, it happens to be that there are many Achronim who do paskin the Shach, despite the fact that it is a bit weaker in Yisharim, the Tzvilat Tzadik paskins this way, and when I first wrote this article, some of these tshuvot that I'm about to quote to you now had not been written, but I'll just tell you, right, very quickly, that since then, Rav Ovadia, he'd probably written this tshuva before, it hadn't been published, it was published in the 10th volume, Gibby Omer. Rav Asher Weiss probably had written it, so I'll just read you. Rav Asher Weiss, in a piece, quotes the Shach and Taz, and he said he was asked many times, right? He said he's asked a lot by people who work with the Druze and other Muslims, are you allowed to go to their parties? He said, by nature, there is a benefit to the feelings of brotherhood. You're giving up your lives. What? He says, Vishar Nochrim. And he says, Shar Nochrim, other non-Jews. And he says there is benefit for you to actually have friendship with them. You're giving up, right? You're risking your lives for each other in war. So he says, I was asked this many times, and he says, similarly, and I'm also asked about people who have business partners who are non-Jews. So Rav Asher assumes it's their Rabbanan, and therefore he assumes, and the non-Jews amongst us do not worship Avodah Zarah. In this particular case, he thinks that the chance you'll actually intermarry is distant. I'm not really sure why he assumes that, but okay. You can rely on them. Now, what does that sound like? It's very careful. Meaning he wouldn't, it doesn't sound like he would just say, I have a friend who's a non-Jew, I can go to his party. It sounds like business partner in war. When there's shadat chak, I can rely on the shach. So it sounds like he's hedging.
He's giving allegiance.
Right, but he says, in business context, fine. In war context, fine. But it doesn't sound like he's just willing to ignore the Taz's arguments.
So there's an external benefit.
No. Where do you ever get an idea like that? That's insane. No. Where did you ever get something like that? It's wrong. No, it's wrong. It's wrong. What do you mean? The Gemara says it all the time. You can rely on the Shadachak.
So he assumes that both possibilities are Darabanan, right?
He doesn't agree with the Taz on that level. He thinks it's Darabanan for sure. Therefore, he says, you can rely on them. Maybe you should be Machmir if there's no other reason, but fundamentally, he thinks you can pass like the Shach B'Shadat Chak. We can talk about Shadat Chak another time. The general principle of Shadat Chak. This is very important in Pesach. Under certain circumstances, it's a Machloket. The parameters of Shadat Chak are very complicated. Now is not the time. Let's start focus on the local Sugya for now. I just told you. He said business partners or these people who you fight alongside them, and there's importance that you have friendship. Those are the two examples he gives. What he says in other contexts, I don't know what to tell you. Rubavadya in Chelek Yod of Yeveh Omer, Tshuva Yud Gimel, was asked, Ba'aravi Muslimi Shmi Chaside Umor Ha'olam. And an Arab Muslim, who is amongst the righteous of the world, it's amazing to the Jews in Beit Choron, right
here, Beit Choron. You pass it all the time on the 443.
Mituch ahava v'hokara, he loves them, he respects them. And now he's right. Pshuta k'mashmo, he's marrying off his daughter. He wants to make in a separate room. He's not even like, I want you in the wedding. Second, v'tacharash k'cham yuchedet l'kasher l'mahadrin. So is it mutter? Because if you say no to that, a separate party for you in the city, right? Under Mahadram and Mahadram. He might, but this is the question he's asked. He quotes the whole sugya that we just said, and the shach, and the taz, and da-da-da-da-da. So first of all, he quotes, so he says... So he assumes, first of all, that there is a minority of Rishonim and Poskim who assume that Muslims are also considered Avodah Zarah, and he rejects it based on the Rambam. The Rambam says very clearly, Muslims are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Then he says, well, there are a few Rishonim who imply, like Rashi, and Achronim, like the Drisha and the Shach, who assume that this Isser is only Mishum Avodah Zarah, and that it's Dirabanan. So he said, if that's the case, so he says, then he says, well, I saw the Taz who disagrees. Right? I saw the Taz. He said, I'm aware of the Taz. Obviously, he's aware of the Taz. He's aware of everything. That it's a Pasuk. And he says, the Shach already says that he's wrong. It's an Asmachta. And he says, the Tzadik Pasuk is like the Shach. And he says, it's true. Right, and he says, right, I know, the Shach holds that it's Derabanan and it's about Avodah Zarah, and therefore can be waived for Eva. The Taz thinks A, it's Daraita, and B, it's because of friendship and Binoteyen, which are two reasons to be Machmir against Eva. He quotes a bunch of people who say that it's not Daraita. He assumes that the simple pshat of the Gemara is that it's Dira Banan, unlike the Taz. And therefore, he says... now, interestingly, he argues that maybe according to the Taz, even the Taz would agree that it's Dirabanan if you're dealing with someone who's not an Ovid of Odezara. Right, that maybe even the Taz will agree that the Pasuk only applies to someone who's Ovid of Odezara. So if that's the case, even the Taz would think it's Dirabanan. So now we're dealing with the Suffolk Dirabanan, Lekulei Alma. And then he says, so therefore it's Roi to Paskin on the Shach. In this case, and he adds, in his case, add to the fact that it's in a separate room. So there's a, right, there's like a very distinct heter, and therefore he thinks that you can be mekel. So again, Ruvadia, now both of them are not like just running and saying it's mutter, it's mutter, it's mutter, but they're recognizing that you, that either me'ikra din you can pass him like the shach, or maybe because it's something they're abonning, but you should notice, right? Neither of them are just like running to it. I've seen some people in America sometimes be like, oh, the shach against the Taz. We don't even have to think about it. Obviously, we can go to every party at every non-Jew because we pass him the shach, and they're not over the Vazara and whatever, and it's going to cause eitha. No one seems to be so... So maybe we'll come back to the... I don't know if we'll do it this second. Right, so let's leave the question of Christmas parties for a minute. Right? Maybe when we finish... Guys, maybe when we finish this and we finish Shechar Akum, we'll come back to the local question of actual holiday parties. But right now, I want to talk about parties. However, if you take a different posek, for example, the Rav Vosner in Shevet Alevi... In Chelek Tetz, in Ein Vav, he was asked about Binyan Socharei Yahalomim, diamond dealers. Yeshlem Tishrei Mischar Im Goyim Ovdei Avodah Zarah Mehodu. They have business relations with Hindus. Vagoy Oseh Mishlach Chudanah Menoh. So this is a little bit more machmir now, because we're dealing with people who are very plausibly Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And he says, can Bisharat Chak, can they be at a separate table? Bisharat Chak. And he says, no. Even b'sharat chak. Even b'sharat chak, it is usher. And he says, for two reasons. First of all, he thinks it's usher maker adin. He says, also, who says that's Eva? Right? You don't show up to someone's wedding. Is it really Eva? Right? He's not convinced that that's Eva. So you don't show up to their weddings. They're a little bit hurt. You say you have something else that night. Right, I don't like going to weddings. Secret. Oh, I said this on record. I like, unless it's someone I'm really close to, it's a lot. It's hours out of my time. Right? Like, if it's someone I'm really close to, I'm happy for them. But like, I don't, you know, I'm not, I know, like, I like talking and stuff, like, making sure I'm like schmoozing. I'm actually not like a big party person. I know this is shocking. I'm not a big party person. So like, you know, it's one of those things, like, you know, okay, so you don't go. She's not convinced that the little ini imut that might be created. You don't know. But he's machmir.
Rob,
yes.
So going back to the specific example of Indians in diamond dealing, there is a minhag in diamond dealing to say the phrase, and even non-Jews say the phrase, mazel and brochet.
Yeah, okay, great, thank you.
If you were to say, whoa, what did they say? We're doing a trade, we're trading diamonds. Get it, Basel and Brooklyn.
It's Hebrew.
It's Hebrew said in Hasidic accent that doesn't make it Yiddish.
No, un.
Okay.
Wonderful.
And, okay, whatever. This phrase, Mazal Ubracha.
Yes, because the Hasidim are very involved in the diamond district.
Mazal Ubracha. Okay,
and they were to
reply,
hang on, the Indian were to reply the exact same phrase, which, as I said, non-Jews will say it as well.
What's the problem at all? The word
they're Muslim. Just saying, they're also saying to you, good luck and blessings. When they say blessings, they could be having...
Who cares? They don't invoke God's name. What are you talking about?
No, but they could be...
Who cares? That's not what we're talking about. God. Doesn't matter. Where have we ever said that? It's actually Modev Adazara, not someone says, God bless you. Where did you ever get this idea? I can't sneeze where there's an Modev Adazara in the room because they might say, God bless you, and in their head, they're thinking Zeus. I mean, like... That's not what we're talking about. Okay, we're talking about Azilu Modi Levodizara.
Okay.
You keep reinterpreting it. Also, Moti Vodazara means they go and they thank their idol. It doesn't mean that they say, Gesundheit, God bless you, and in their head, they mean Zeus. Okay. I don't care, right? I mean, I care, it's weird, but like, you know.
I wanted to know the distinction.
No, it's actual. Okay. So I, what I would tell you is that, look, it's not, I would say that some, I have heard many shirim, on this topic where people are just like, oh, we paskin like the Shach, and everything in the universe is animosity, and Eva, and it's Mutar Gzolim D'Rabbanan, and obviously every business party is fine, where like, when you read the postgame, first of all, it's not clear we paskin like the Shach. It might be that we paskin like Taz Del Raita, in which case Eva wouldn't help. And even if we do paskin like the Shach, you see that the postgame, even though we're willing to make it, are like, okay, but only if there's a need. Like, you actually have to justify it, right? You do have to think for a moment. And this is why I was saying this to Rudy, right? That I do think that here, by joining a party, this is where you see the postgame sort of coming out and putting the issue on the actual issue of table of, like, there are limits, right? Like, okay, a business party, fine, I understand, maybe a shot at, but, like, you should give it a second thought before you just jump on it and say, we party together. Because, you know, you party together at every party. Like, this is a real chash. This is not crazy. And I'm not telling you to paskin. I'm telling you, be aware that there are Rishonim and Achronim who think this is a biblical prohibition and that Eva won't help. So even if you paskin like the Shach, you see, Rasha Weiss does paskin like the Shach, but he says, Bisharat Chach, I'm willing to rely on him. Ravadia is like, when there's an actual chash of Eva, but they both actually try to justify it, and they don't just say, oh, Eva, call it Eva. Right? God, for sure. But at my point is, even if you're bossing on the Shach, you actually have to be serious about it. Like, is this, you know, it's one thing, it's like your partner in business. I understand, maybe that's Eva. But like, a coworker who just invites everybody, like, is it really Eva? Like, you go, you don't really know the coworker so well, you don't really know the people, so what you basically do at the wedding is just hanging around with your non-Jewish coworkers and drinking alcohol. I mean, right, this is like, right, this is actually something you should think about. I'm not telling you to answer, I'm not, right, you know, you want to consult me when it actually happens and talk, but I you want to understand, this is an actual thing, and like I said, Bishul Akum and Pad Akum in many ways are much more formal, but this is much more substantive, like, you understand. And Shechar, we're going to see, is even more substantive in that way. Particularly because it's not halachic, it's minog. Minog means minog gemara, probably, but we'll see what it is. But we're not there yet. Maybe, but according to the Taz, that doesn't matter. Or maybe according to Ravadi, even according to the Taz, that matters. Okay, fine. I understand. That's definitely a factor. Okay, but let's say you're convinced of this, The next thing you have to do is to realize that not all parties are created equal. Now, this should be obvious. But let's look at this. So if you look here in the Rambam, in number 12, the Rambam says in the 17th parak of Macholot Asurot, the Yesham Dar Machirim Asurot on Chachamim, the Avo Bisha Ein Li Suran Ikar Min HaTorah, Gazrua Lehen Kidei Litrachek Min HaAkum. There are other things that the sages forbade that have no basis in Torah. It's fully rabbinic that they made to distance us from Ovdei Avodah Zarah, from idolaters. Ketzad, what's the case? Lo yishte adam b'misiba shel akum. Don't drink at the party of an idolater. Even if the wine itself is permitted, or it was your kelim, but if the majority of the party is Jewish, it is permitted. Hold this thought. I want to read the second Rambam, and then we'll analyze. The Rambam in Perek Ted of Elchanan de Zara says, "Ovi kochavim sha'asal livno levito mishte asur le'anot misudato." If an idolater makes a party for his child, for wedding, whatever, you cannot benefit from the meal. And all of this could have been Zara because of the pasuk. Now, So the Rambam is a little bit complicated, right? People really try to figure out what the Rambam is doing because, first of all, he comes up with this interesting notion that a non-Jewish party is a party in which the majority are non-Jews. And therefore, if the majority are Jews, it's a chaloshim Jewish party, right? That is the first chiddush that he says. Now, in the formulation Machalat Asurot, he makes it clear that drinking at their party, right? Now, he blurs the line between Shechar Akum and Mesibat Akum, right? Because he says a party is where you're drinking alcohol. Right, so he seems to blur these two prohibitions. So we're gonna come back to Sheikhar Akum, but he does think it's Derabanan, and he thinks it's because of Chatnut. However, in Ovid Kochavim, he thinks it's about idolatry, and it's not totally clear whether he thinks it's Doraita. Or Derabanan. It's not clear. Mishnah Melech assumes he thinks it's Derabanan, but it's not totally clear. Well, what is the question in Archaka Azot? What does that mean? Right? Archaka, like the Torah distanced it, or... Right, so it's not totally clear where this comes from. So the Rav Moshe has the following argument. Rav Moshe, in 15 here, makes the... B'davar lasot parlor meeting. Do you have this? Do you have the sheet? Okay, I sent it to you, right? So he says, parlor meeting. 15. Parla meeting. That's, by the way, I want you to notice the New York pronunciation. You'll appreciate this, Mordechai. Parla, look, he doesn't put a race at the end. Parla meeting. Right? No, it's not. It's New York. You don't say the R. No, but that's not what I wanted. I wanted to show him that this is the Brooklyn accent, parlor meeting. Right? He got rid of the R at the end, which is hysterical. I'm just saying that is the most New York thing ever. Right? Anyway. B'davar Laz is parlor meeting. B'veit Nachrim. Af litzarach mitzvah. Nire she'asur. Even for a mitzvah, it is usur. Mishum she'ika iser lasot mishtaot b'veit nochrim. Af le'achol sham dvar muterim lishtot sheichar v'yayin sraf u'mashkinam muterim. You can't have a party at the non-Jews and drink alcohol, even if the alcohol is muter. Shrei asru b'shvil zel lishtot sheichar v'yayin tashon nochrim. Two reasons. One is the iser sheichar, which again we haven't gotten to. That'll be our next sugya, which is kuf yudalid. And shulchan aruch af below asim nishtek shu'ashti et keva. And then he says after the ellipsis, since it's usher, it's usher, and it's usher. He says, to make a party there, you can't do. But if the non-Jew invites you to his party, he says, then it's permitted because of Eva. Who is he passing like? The Shach. And the drinking is therefore a right. Aval a parla meeting, hare osid v'chavana yudim v'nachri z'zein lahatir. You're doing it in the non-Jew's house on purpose. Uvedavars yom lasod banquet lichvod nachri v'ezu ulam k'deshavu b'shvil har be'aruchim v'nadvu b'shvil avur adar mitzvah in lomar shudavar yisur mamash lovinu mechuar. He says, and if you're doing it in honor of the non-Jews, so you get the non-Jewish donors, he's like, I mean, I can't say it's us, but he's like, I really don't like it. I don't like it very much. I should have given you more of Ramosha. Ramosha argues that where does the Rambam get this, his exact formulation, right, that he blurs the line between Sheikhar and parties, and so he thinks that the Isra of Sheikhar actually motivated, for the Rambam tells you that the Isra of Chatnut is an Isra that should be treated substantively. And therefore, you should look at the situation and say, like, oh, alcohol at a party creates problems, and therefore we should forbid it. And therefore, he's just basically expanding Chatnut. The Beit Yosef, however, assumes that the Rambam has some sort of brayta that we didn't have that allows him this exact formulation. There's a lot of written about him. Now, why is this important? Because what's clear from the Rambam, as Rav Moshe points out, is that if you think that the way he gets here is some expansion of Chatnut or some brayta that we don't have, what's the implication? that any party, or at least any party that has alcohol, is usher. Right? And maybe it's not because of Eva, but meaning the starting point is that any party, or a party with alcohol at least, is usher. Whereas if you only had the Gemara Nevo Dezara Davchet, what would you have thought? That only like formal parties are usher. Right? This is the major point you have to get from the Rambam. Is the Rambam makes it clear that however he gets there, with some combination of the sugya of Shechar, plus Mesibot Akol, plus whatever, that whatever this is, that any party with alcohol he thinks is problematic. Maybe you can permit it because of Eva, but your starting point is any party. Right? The problem is that the simple pshat of the Gemara is that it's a type of party where you would invite someone. It's a very formal party where you would send out an invitation weeks in advance. And if you wanted to read the Gemara literally, you would say that all this prohibition is limited to parties of that level of formality, like weddings, and not necessarily a social get-together, right? According to the Rambam, it would sound like going to a bar. Okay, we already said bars, asar. going, let's say, to a restaurant and drinking would be a party for the Rambam. Right? You might be able to mod it because of Eva, but your starting point would be usher. That would be a party already, right? Whereas the simple pshat in the Gemara, it's no, like something with an invitation, it's formal, right? But if the guys just decide to go out for a drink after work, that's not a mesiba. That would be very important because a wedding would still, okay, you'd have to deal with the shachtaz problem, but maybe just a social get-together after work, you wouldn't have to deal with the sugya at all. So which is it, right? Is it that the parties that we're dealing with here are only like super formal parties? That's where these isturim are in play and then you have to talk shachtaz? Or is it any party or any party where there's alcohol because we expand chatnut and we mix between the sugya of shechar, which I know I'm being vague, but that's because we haven't done shechar yet. But we mix the sugya of shechar with the sugya of mesibot. So, pritoar is mekil. It has to be a formal party. Or chasholchan is mekil. Especially if you bring your own food. It's mekil. Though not everyone agrees with that. Now, if you look for a second, the Ramach, yeah. Ramach in 14, or Moshe Cohen.
If you bring your own food, does it like you go to fish?
Well, that also, but he also thinks it minimizes the being part of the party, right? Not everyone agrees with that. The Ramach, look at the 14. The Ramach, who's a Rishon from Provence, writes, Mikol Makom Eina Nuzar Mizeh, Shanu Shotim Miss something. He notes that at least on these smaller level parties, to call it a mesiba just because there's alcohol there, he notes that the minog in Provence was not to be machmir. The yesh lo mer ki haru lo aser ela yidei kriya vezimon. What's his svara? Maybe it's only aser, right? He reads this limited. He says maybe the svara is only when it's the type of party where you get invited. Right, so the Moshe Cohen or the Ramach is already telling you that the svar to be mekil on certain types of gatherings is to assume, right now. This, remember, I asked you this at the beginning of the sugya. I said when the Gemara says that it's usher from the time of invitation, is that just saying that you violated the time of invitation, or is it telling you the only type of party that's usher is the one that would have such a formal invitation where you send out the invitation, you say please respond by RSVP, right, that level party, so that's when you have to talk about this issue, but, let's get together after work, that's not an invitation, right, that's we're getting together after work, and therefore the whole issue would be off. Shechar would still be a problem, but this issue wouldn't be in question. So I gave you here, the Taz isn't so explicitly, okay, so I mean, if you look here, what I gave you is, this is, a summary from mine, from my article. Now, you could have thought, why would you limit it to non-formal parties, right? What is the svara for limiting it? So, the Levush and Rav Malkalai say it's very simple. What's the svara? So he thinks, well, if you think it's about Avodah Zarah, no one is saying, oh, my coworker came with me to for a coffee at Starbucks. I need now to go thank my God. Right? Like, that's not how people work. If he came to your wedding and it was a chashuv guest, so Rabbi Maklai says, if it's about avodah zarah, then the only type of party that's in the Isser is the Isser that's so big that a chashuv guest coming is a reason to, you know, go and bring a karban to Zeus, right? But anybody who says, ah, thank you, Zeus, he came and he had a $7 cappuccino with me at Starbucks, whatever the price is nowadays. Okay, that's a, you know.
So if it causes him to, I don't know, bed change.
Right, now the truth is, you could say this even within Chatnut, right? But you could just say that even if the Svara is intimacy, there's a different level of intimacy when you come to someone's wedding than like Letov Lara, right? You could say that it's the everyday little social gatherings that create more Chatnut, but you could also say it creates less. I mean, that's like social rather than I invite you in my wedding, I invite, you know, meet, you're part of, you know, come, meet the family, right? But anyway, right, but that's how Moshe Cohen takes it, right? This idea, or even Rishonim, and the Meiri also confirms this. Meiri is also from Provence. Now, you could come up with a middle position as such, which is a formal party has the problem of avodah zarah and chatnut, and therefore is usher even if you're at separate tables. And this is sort of what the Chachma Radam says. And in such a case, the very acceptance of the invitation is problematic. But social gatherings are permitted, but only in the correct context, like when Jews are primary. Right? So you could come up with some sort of middle one, or maybe you would say social gatherings are mutter if you're a separate table, right? That the separate table doesn't help at the wedding because, you know, you accept the invitation and that was already, but maybe a social gathering would be mutter if you, right? The same thing that Gemara rejects as being enough to solve the problem at a wedding, maybe that would be mutter. Avraham Alkalai says both of these. Right, that at a regular social gathering, it's not just mutter with nothing, but there, if the Jews are a majority, or you eat at a separate table and you create some sort of distance, that's enough. At a wedding, where there's the added problem of avodah zarah, then that would not be a solution, right? So that's like a compromise position. Now, if that's the case, that would say that we have another tzad lahakel in many sort of like business context, because they're not weddings, but weddings would still be, when it comes to wedding, you'd have to rely on the shachtaz discussion, right? But where social gatherings, you have a lot more room to be makil if you accept all these distinctions and say that the primary isser, right, the extreme isser that's presented in the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, that's a very, very formal party. So what would you say about office parties? So interestingly, Menashe Klein takes it as a given. Is a tshuva in Chelek Zayin Tshuva Kuf Yud Chet that he just assumes that the Taz would say like a regular stam office party is just as problematic as a wedding for the Taz. Also midoraita, and therefore there's no heter of Eva. And when I talked to Rav Shechter thought he was right that within the Taz that the Taz wouldn't make a distinction. However, Rav Shechter was willing, I gave you it all here, you can look, right, that Rav Shechter thought, again, this is when I talked to him, suggested there's a difference between making an appearance at a party and attending a party, right? Like if I come in, I say hello, you know, that's one level, and then there's like sitting down to join the meal, right? So he also had like a very... Good, so that's the question. I'm not sure. I talked to Ari Bleich about this also when I was in YU, and he was very much along the lines that what makes it problematic is an invitation, or that the only type of problem is the type of thing that you would invite someone to. Now, I asked him, what did he think counted as an invitation? And he thought, and this is very formal to me, and I could definitely see you distinguishing, but he thought that a sign on the bulletin board, right, is not an invitation, right? Whereas he thought a formal invitation by even by email would be an invitation. I'm not convinced. I could definitely see a svara. Right, right, exactly. Right. I would, if you asked me my intuition, right, if you're asking me my invitation, I would have said there's a difference between a mass email, right, to like the company list. I don't think that's an invitation. That's more like the modern equivalent of a bulletin board. Now, we could ask very, very interesting distinctions. Like, what if it's not a mass email, but it's a but it's an evite with a please RSVP? Right? So there, I could see someone saying that even though I sent it to everybody, the fact that it has an RSVP in it, that's Mishat Kriya. Right? So again, I'm not posking here, but I'm saying that one of the factors here is that if you really think that what qualifies as a party is the type of party you would invite to, so you have to figure out, okay, well, what type of invitation matters. Mo, stop running away. This is a problem. When you're doing halacha, I would like you not to visit. Just give me a second. I'm just going to... Some other kulot that are thrown out by different postgame. Okay, just give me one second. Let me throw out the kulot. One second. I'm going to literally just read from my article here, okay? So, from the Beit Yosef, it seems that a party can be as small as two people. The Beis Yosef actually says this, that a party is a social gathering. However, most posts, I think, reject this. Or Chasholchan says that, nah, that's a meeting, not a social gathering. As we already noted, many Achronim permit in cases when they're at separate tables. If the party takes place in a Jew's house, so that the poskim seem to say that's mutter, even without being more Jews. The fact that it's in the Jew's house makes it a Jewish party. Rav Baruch Chaim Hirschfeld, who was a Rosh Kollel in Cleveland, but I found an article by a Rabbi Dweck who quoted him, argues, very interestingly, that business meetings by definition are not usher because they're not social, right? They're not social. Now, I'm not sure, right? Because sometimes, like, I hear the svara. On the other hand, a lot of the meetings that are in business context are specifically not business oriented. They're like team building, right? So like they're meant. So this is right. You understand, right? So again, so maybe it's Ava. So again, I think it's a tzad lahakel, but it's not so obvious. So what I had is my conclusion here, right? And again, some of this is based on the alcohol stuff, but was that formal parties such as weddings, which require invitations, are problematic. Again, they're subject to the shachtas. While some believe that the prohibition can be waived because of Eva, this goes against what seems to be mainstream Rishonim. Nevertheless, there are several prominent poskim rely on Shach, Rav Moshe Feinstein, or Chasholchan, we can add Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Ovadia. Sitting at separate tables possibly alleviates problems. Having your own phone might mitigate the problem. We saw some poskim suggest this. Office parties have several other grounds for leniency. First, they may not be social gatherings at all, or that's Ruf Hirschfeld. And even if they are, they're not parallel to weddings, right? If you think, right, you buy that the only types of prohibitions are those big parties, and therefore may at least not be subject to the Isur D'oraita. Then there may be reason to be permit because of Eva. And if you don't stay for a long time, that's Ruf Shechter's head there, it may be permitted on the basis of Arai and Akrai, which in the case of Shechar, we'll see, that when you drink with them Ba'arai Ba'akrai, right, which is like happenstance, that's less problematic, and that may spill over into Mesiba, but again, we have to get to Sheikhar. Rav Shechter also thought that if you didn't eat, or if you go to the party and don't eat, maybe that's not considered participating. Maybe. My conclusion I didn't put my conclusion on this sheet. But I'll tell you, right, my feeling, and then I'll take your question, is the following, is that I think, I like really formal parties, like weddings, I think that, according to the Taz, and according to many that we've shown him, in that case, you're dealing with a suffix d'oraita. And therefore, I'm not saying it's usur. I'm saying that people shouldn't be so quick to just say the shach. And even if you do possibly the shach, we saw from Rav Ovadia and we saw from Rav Asher, neither of them say you should jump on it, right? They're like, if there's a real need, so fine. But you have to be honest whether there's a need, right? It does seem, again,
when you're dealing with something according to the Taz and according to the Ritvan, according to the Rivas, and according to many of the Svardi Achronim, the Chida and the Erech HaShulchan, they think it's Asr Midah Raita. To just say, oh, the Shach said is utter Eva, and Eva is like anything that would cause any lack of comfort, like at some level, that seems problematic. Right? To just write it off. That being said, there are definitely major poskim who think that definitely when there's a need, like it's going to cause, it is really going to cause hurt feelings in a case that's important, a business context or someone who you're in the army with or something like that. So again, I'm not going to say it's usher. The Shach clearly thinks that would be mutter. The Rashi probably thinks it's mutter. Biri probably thinks it's mutter. Moshe Feinstein thinks it's mutter. Bavadia thinks it's mutter. Moshe Weiss thinks it's mutter. I mean, it's not, they're not nobodies. And definitely if you're dealing with someone who's definitely not an overdoser, like a Muslim. According to the Ramah, Christians, right, there's definitely room to be mekel. But I would at least examine the sugya. When it comes to like less formal gatherings, so there I think there's a lot more room. Either you buy Rav Hirschfeld's argument that any business meeting is just not social. I'm not convinced that's true because the line gets a little bit blurry with like, so, you know, team building things. I'm not convinced. But if it's not formal, it's not the type of thing you really invite to. However you want to understand invitation. I'm not sold on Roy Bleich's argument that every email is a hazmana, right? Is a kriya. I'm not convinced of that. I don't know. I think a mass email probably isn't. It's not obvious to me what
it's
individual email. I think probably is definitely an evite. I'm not sure because what? Correct. Like an evite, you would say, well, isn't that what Mishat Kriya is? Once I RSVP, right? Once I ask for an RSVP, I don't know. I don't know. But again. Correct. So, but again, right. So the question is it just like the invitation is magic or is it like a siman? Right? Is it a siman that when someone sends an invitation, it's like a very important party? Whereas like an evite on the whole business, like your entire work, it might just be to get numbers. Like they don't care whether you show up or not. They just need to know how many people to order food for. So I don't know. Ladati, I think you have to have a little sense of it, right? Where if it's the type of thing that is a drop-by, nobody really cares. They just need a number to get food. Probably the fact that they happen to send is an evite. I'm not sure that's a hazmana. And there's a lot more room to make ill. A personal invitation, right, where he personally, you know, you get a personalized one. I'd love to see you because, you know, you always say the best, you know, you do the best roasts and I just want you to be there, right? And like, and, you know, somebody else, you always, you know, I love having you around because you have such a knowledge of wine and I love talking to you about the newest kosher wines. I mean,
yeah,
whatever. That's where things get more complicated. Again, I'm not saying it's aser. I'm not. I think there's a lot of, we've seen, there's a lot of paths to say it's mutter. All I'm saying is like this, is especially if the postman were right, that the Rambam gets this from an expansion of Chatnot, when you think about it, yeah, a lot of Bishul Akum nowadays and Pot Akum nowadays is formal rather than substantive. Right? So even if it was motivated by Chatnot, I'm not really worried that Kobe is going to marry the person who pressed the button in the factory that made the hard-boiled eggs that went into the vacuum packet packed and is sold at the airport.
Well,
I mean,
clearly
you know, right? I'm not so worried. On the other hand, I think Chatnun, and again, we're going to come back to Shechar, the idea of joining social gatherings and definitely parties and definitely when alcohol is involved, this isn't just formal anymore. It's substantive. And therefore, what you see, I think, in post-game is a hesitance to just, you know, say, well, we can find a heter and let's just rely on it because. The poskim are hesitant because I'm not saying you can't have friends and I'm not saying you can't, and there aren't paths to be made. It's just that if you recognize there should be any distance, parties, especially parties with alcohol, is where, you know, that's like a substantive thing. Like if you think there should be any distance, if this means anything, if it means anything to set up safeguards to make sure that there's at least some distance, this is one of these certain that's there. Again, I know I'm hedging, right? But to be fair, like that's, I think, what you get out of the post-game is they're hedging, right? So again, what? The Taz doesn't hedge. But I'm not saying to just paskin unequivocally like the most macher interpretation of the Taz. That's what I'm saying. I just think that if you think the chatnut is a live category, which it is, parties, especially parties with alcohol, are the time where you should ask serious questions. Is that the right place to be? Sometimes the answer might be yes, but even so, like, to recognize, like, Rav Schechter's distinction, that there's a difference between how long you spend there. There's a difference between coming and saying, I appreciate you and I want to show my face and show that I care, rather than sitting down for 3 hours to have a beer with the guys. Right? That is different. Right? There are distinctions you can make that are substantive. And I think that while Bishul and Pot, because of the world we live in, of industrial production of food, those have become formalities. Mesibot, and as we'll see, Sheikhar, which is our next circuit, is Kofi Dalid, are much more, like, the svarot that are raised are much more substantive. They're much more about, like, what are healthy relationships and what are healthy limits that I put on and what are healthy safeguards that I can put on. And that's, and I think it's important to recognize these terms exist and that they may be in many ways the place where the post can more explicitly formulate the substantive approach to the isser. Again, they don't say everything's usser, but they do say, like, let's have a head on our shoulders, let's understand the difference between context, the difference between alcohol and not alcohol. Okay, and again, we're going to come back to it. Sheikhar Akum is in many ways even more explicit about this because you're dealing with alcohol, which is the greatest cause of concern in a lot of these contexts. Right, and again, not Yain Nesach. Yain Nesach is not a Zara problem, but alcohol, qua alcohol, is a Sheikhar Akum problem. So that really, and again, as you saw, some of these terms spill over from here. So just recognize we're going to come back to some of these issues when we do that. But this is basically Kuf and Bet, right? So now in the Akum Simanim Shulchan Aruch, we did Kuf Yud Bet, which was Pot. We did Kuf Yud Gimel, which was Bishul. We did Kuf and Bet, which is Mesibot. Kuf Yud Dalet, we're going to do a Sheikhar. And then we'll see what we do after that. Kuf Ted Vav is Chalav, is milk, which maybe might be worth doing. Chalav Akum is a very important sugya. And then wine already starts at Kuf Chav Gimel. So we'll see. But there's more than enough. I told you, the Akum Sugya, the Isurei Akum Sugya are actually very interesting. Lumjishli, but also, like, values-wise, the way that they express values and negotiation of values is very important. So I do really like learning these Sugyot. What's your question, Kobe? I'm sorry I picked on you, that you might be the one who was enticed by the person who pressed the button on the but I said you weren't, so it's okay.
It's okay. I have the beautiful baker neighbor.
Yeah, he has the beautiful baker neighbor, and you have the guy who pressed the button, the woman who pressed the button.
Hey, Kobe's like, what? You don't need standards here. She makes hard boiled.
The airport actually happened to me last time I was flying in.
You told me.
Yeah.
But you didn't think, now I'm not flying.
You know what? This is it. The fact that there's a 7-Eleven here and they had eggs with an OU Hector on them.
Correct, but
I'm in love.
Correct, but Coke. Yeah, maybe you're in love with 7-Eleven. You're unlikely to say, where is the company? Where is the person? I need to find the person who pressed the button on that day.
I was about to call 7-Eleven.
Tomorrow's standards was even dealing with a party where it wasn't specific.
No, I agree with you. Look, in this, you're right. Meaning, I'm not saying Rabbi Bleich is wrong. At some level, the fact that the Gemara imagines an Isser, even in a case where you invited the whole city, might point in the direction that, yeah, maybe a mass email is enough. I'm not sure, meaning partially because mass email might be the equivalent of putting something on a board these days, whereas... Well, maybe. I mean, you could definitely be a Machmer. I'm not convinced, meaning because, again, if you think that the reason Zeman is important is because it's a sheer of how chashuv of a party it is, that's not true. You can invite the whole city. That's not true. A very rich person, the mayor of a city, especially a smaller city, these weren't 10 million people cities. These were, you know, 100 people in the city, 200 people in the city. The very wealthy, you know, feudal lord might have invited the whole city to join his child's wedding. That's not crazy, right? So I think, you know, you got to really figure out. I understand that at one level you say, well, the whole city's invited, and that's considered hazmana and a kriya. You're right. But on the other hand, it's a wedding, and the invitation might be they sent a formal wedding invitation, or they sent the town crier to your house, right? You know, he sent his messenger, hear ye, Kobe, Sir Kobe, you are now formally invited to the wedding, and Sir Mo, and you know, it could be something like that, where, again, that has a different feeling than, like, well, why weren't you at the party? I was never invited. Of course you were invited. I sent an email. It went to spam. Oh, yeah, I hate spam. But, like, an email is a different valence, right? It does. It's just like...
It's the kavanah of the person invited, which is...
But you're right. We got to figure out. An evite is already different. When someone puts in the effort of an evite, and then, you know, I mean, look, I could see you making all types of distinctions. Did he use the free level of the evite or the paid
like
level? Right, enough, you used the customized already. You know, that's like... And did he use the one that's one page or the one that you imagine opens up the envelope, right? You know, like there's different madrigas. I could see. They're exactly right. I could imagine there being a distinction. I'm not saying that's crazy. No, I understand. Especially if the kriya is a siman of how hush of a party it is. I don't think it's crazy. My point is that you have to think about these things, right? And have a real conversation about them. And again, every posing I've ever talked to or read about this, despite random shirim I heard in Yayu Torah, where people are just like, I've listened to many shirim on Yayu Torah, where basically it's like, we pass on the shach, and everything is eva, and everything is going to be masi, and everything is mutter. Whereas when you read the poskim, between the people who pass on the taz, and the people who pass on the shach, but only when there's a real need, you see that poskim aren't so comfortable, because, for obvious reasons, right? Meaning, if ever there was something that's substantive, it's limiting what parties you go to, and where you drink. Right, these are like real. These are where things actually go wrong. Right, this is, and again, when we see Sheikhar, we'll see this more. But I remember when I talked to Rai Willig, like he was like, "Yeah, like you don't know how many nightmares I've seen in my time as rabbi because of alcohol." Right, alcohol can lead people, can lower inhibitions, and you end up doing things you didn't want to do. And again, Sheikhar will make this very clear. But we saw from the Rambam that he has a blurring of the lines between Sheikhar and Masibot and a party where there's alcohol. And again, as we'll see. Yeah, I would say that definitely, you know, if someone's going to a party, one of the things I would say right away is, look, it would be, if you can avoid having alcohol, right, that is an important distinction. Again, you will see it in Sheikhar, but head on your shoulders, even if it wasn't a formal prohibition, there's a difference between going to a party and being drunk when you're at the party and not. That's yesh hevdel.
I would see, from what you've explained, what makes the most sense to me is when they invited you. Is it were they? Did they have like intent to invite you as an individual? We're inviting the Zurichs and we're getting to the Desmond.
I'm with you that there might that maybe a more intuitive distinction is did they mean to invite you or they invited everybody and you are in everybody?
Yeah.
Again, Kobe's right that the Gemara's case is explicitly Zimin Kol Yehudim, but again, if you're dealing with a small city. It could mean Zeman call you dim like one by one, rather than. I mean, yeah, like you're telling with you brought your own butler with you. I mean, these aren't just like, you know, you didn't bring your own butler to your to your office party. That's not what it is. So again, that may indicate we're talking.
I'm sorry, Mo.
When you are working at the hedge fund, will bring your own butler.
It's such a circumstance.
No, I understand.
Where you have people that have personal assistants.
No, I understand.
You can argue that
okay, sure. We can talk about it. Okay, good. That's Masibot Akum. Next time we'll pick up with Sheikhar Akum, Kuf Yudalid. And we will. And then once we do that, so then you want to just go to Kuf Tetvav, which is Chalav.
Sure.
Okay. So what we'll do is like this, okay?
We have like.
So what we're going to do is like this.